Okay, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, today, well, you can turn there, but let's stand as we just be reading. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, all right? Let's stand as we'll be reading and giving reverence to the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 1. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time as we hear your word. Speak to us in a precious way that, Lord, we know is your voice. Lord, we pray that your word will be so real to us. I pray for one who do not know Christ as our Savior, as their Savior. I ask you, Lord, to open their hearts and their mind to understanding the truth of the word. I believe many are serving you, maybe doing things. But Lord, I pray most importantly that they will be assured of their salvation and also be pressing on, Lord, in growing in Christ. We thank you for what you're going to do. We commit this 40 minutes or so into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, over the next few weeks and months, we'll be focusing on 2 Peter. Okay, going verse by verse. All right. Pastorally, for me as a pastor, one of the things I like to do is as I go through the Bible, verse by verse, you will be able to understand how you personally can read the scriptures and also learn how to read the Bible for yourself, okay? And also to be able to be encouraged by 2 Peter after I talk about the purpose of the epistle, all right? So we just over the next few weeks, we'll just be focusing on 2 Peter. All right, who is this Peter? Just by way of introduction, the person of Peter, I'm just going to introduce to you. Some of you may already know. Simon was his original name. Okay, that was his original name. Simon Peter was introduced to the Lord Jesus when who brought him to Jesus? Who brought Peter to Jesus? Who? Andrew, remember? All right, in the book of John, chapter 1, Andrew, okay, Andrew, after he found the Messiah, went back home, and Andrew was the one who brought Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah," okay? And then he was probably a disciple of John the Baptist, and he was the one who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times, okay? Unfortunately, when he was a disciple of John the Baptist, Peter actually did a few things which was very good. Number one, Jesus called him into the ministry, and he was the one who confessed Christ as the Messiah. All right? It's so important for every believer to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior of this world, and that Jesus is God. Okay? If a person who don't believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, he cannot be saved. It's a very important teaching of the Scriptures. Unfortunately, he denied Christ. Peter, a great apostle, denied Christ. You know, that actually gives us hope. Because the next thing was Jesus restored him back. Jesus restored him back. You know, Peter, a great apostle, fell. You know, that gives us hope because it shows Christ being patient with us. And when we fall, he is always there to pick us up as believers in Christ. But you know what? Not only that, Jesus called him to shepherd the lambs and the sheep, the young believers and the Christians in general, okay? The Lord called him in John chapter 21 to feed the lambs and the sheep, to which he remained faithful to the call until his death. And in 2 Peter, Peter fulfills his call of Christ to feed the sheep. The calling of Peter is to feed the sheep. And that's what he's trying to do in 2 Peter. Okay, in the purpose of the epistle, there are a few passages that I'd like you to turn to. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. If you're already in 2 Peter, those passages should just appear. All right, it's just in front of you. Let me just read. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," meaning in this body, "to stir you by putting you in remembrance, knowing this shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able to, after my decease, to have these things always in a remembrance. Peter, in 2 Peter, said, look guys, I will not be negligent in reminding you of this truth. I will not be negligent. I have had believers tell me, Pastor, you are always saying the same thing. Well, 2 Peter says, I will not be negligent that I'm always repeating this to you. Because why? It is urgent. Peter was going to die. That's why he says, though ye know them and be established in the truth, I think as long as I'm in this tabernacle, it'll stir you off because I know Christ has already showed me I'm going to die. Not that I'm going to die, Peter is going to die. And Peter said, it is urgent. I need to constantly remind you of this. And he said this, even though you know this, there are many Christians who say, Pastor, I know this already. And even Peter says, you are establishing it. But Peter said, I will not be negligent to remind you. Do you realize in the short 5 verses, he put the word remembrance 3 times? That tells us that it's okay to repeat the truth again and again. After that, I'll tell you why he needs to remember. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Though we already know the doctrines in the scriptures, it's nonetheless urgent and important to be constantly reminded of it. You know why we have to be reminded of that? Because we forget. We forget. You know how we forget? You know how I know we sometimes forget? Because when trials come, we will not go back to the Bible. We'll go back to practicality, pragmatism, and our own thinking to solve our problems. We forget. And the reason why Peter had to stir these people up by way of remembrance is to help them to remember the doctrines, especially in the course of human life and living. We forget. Okay? In 1 Peter, the epistle was written to encourage them in their trials. But in 2 Peter, there are 3 reasons why Peter are reading. Number one, to warn them of false teachers. To warn them of false teachers. Ambassador Baptist Church, I'll send you a little pamphlet on Stephen Anderson. He's a false teacher. He's a heretic. And I'm warning you about him. Okay? And it is important because there's so much false teaching going around. The only way of truth is in the scriptures. So Peter wanted to stir them to remind them of that. Number two, he wanted to remind them of the second coming. In the last days, one of the most forgotten doctrines is the second coming. Many Christians live their lives as if Jesus will not come. And Peter wanted to stir them up and say, I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is coming again. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3. But you know what's the most applicable? And to all this is applicable, he wants to challenge them to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, 2 Peter we'll be talking about in the next few weeks, how to grow. He actually tells us how to grow. I mean, he not only tells us that he wants us to grow, he tells us how to grow. Okay? This is so applicable for us today. There's a spreading of false teaching everywhere. It's applicable for us because Christ is coming. And it's applicable because we need to grow as Christians. 2019 must be different from 2018 in terms of our spiritual life. And I pray that God will help us to do that. So, in 1 Peter, 3 spiritual truths that will highlight. Please take it down. If you have a little booklet that you're writing down, maybe at the end of these few weeks, you'll have a little commentary on 2 Peter already. But there are 3 things I will talk about. Number one, our conversion to Christ. Number two, our service for Christ. And number three, our faith through Christ. Now I want to explore this as in the first verse because that's what Peter introduces the whole 2 Peter, okay? First, let's talk about our conversion to Jesus Christ. Simon, Peter. Now what's so interesting about those 2 words? Simon, Peter. Simon Peter. And he brought him to Jesus. That's what Andrew did. Andrew brought him to Jesus and listened to what Jesus told him. And Jesus beheld him. That means Jesus saw Peter and said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonas." That was the name that Simon had at the physical birth. Does that make sense? Jesus knew that Simon was called Simon at his physical birth. "Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Simon was the old name at the physical birth, but Peter was called by Christ at the first contact with Christ, at his first calling. I want us to turn to John chapter 3. In this conversion to Christ, Peter, in these two words, tells us Peter, Simon, his old life was changed by Christ. He's called Peter, okay? Peter, we need to be born again. We need to be born again. In John chapter 3, let's turn there. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 8. This is an important truth, and I hope if you are not a Christian or you think you're a Christian, let's make sure our theology is fitting with the scriptures. In verse 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is serious business. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was afraid that the Pharisees will caught him going to Jesus. So he went to Jesus by night. And he asked Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." That's in verse 2. And Jesus cut to the chase. Jesus just immediately told him, "Nicodemus, I know what you're after. Let me tell you, except ye be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, I know you are coming to me to ask about eternal life. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again." And then Nicodemus says, verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now that's very logical, right? It is very, very logical. You want me to be born again? Into my mother's womb and come out again? Verse 5. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6 answers to verse 5. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What does it mean? In context here, it refers to physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, you must be physically born. Okay, Eliza, Eleanor, you must be physically born. But the first birth doesn't tell you, or doesn't tell you that, or rather doesn't give you eternal life. It's a second birth. And born of the Spirit. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. Now, the water can also refer to the Word of God, which is consistent with the Scriptures. The only way we can be born again is that we hear the Word of God and believe on the Son of God, and then we can have eternal life. Verse 7, "Marvel not, don't be surprised that I tell you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, but hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh or whither it goeth." What Jesus was telling Nicodemus was this: you know, when the wind blows, you cannot see it, but you can hear the sound. That simply means when a person is saved by the Spirit of God, we can't see what Jesus is doing in the person's heart, but you can see the outcome. That's why Simon, the old name, became Peter, the new name. There is a conversion. There is a conversion at salvation. There is a conversion at salvation. And that's what we need to understand in the truth of these scriptures. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Turn around. Turn around. The word converted means to turn around. You no longer are your old self. What you are fearful of after you become a Christian, your old life is put away. No longer will you follow the desires of your own heart. You know, it is surprising and scary to me that people who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, you can't see any change in their life. But the Bible teaches that there must be a conversion. Before, I used to be like this, but now I don't. Young people, I want you to pay attention. Before you got saved, many people say, I'm saved. I remember I trusted Christ. But are you putting away? Is there a time that you realize you were genuinely saved and you put away the friends, you put away the vulgar language, you put away the music, you put away those things that are of the world? The heart begins to say, hey, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore. I can't go back to those things anymore because my life is converted. I'm changed. That means you are born again. Once you are born again, there is a new nature inside of you, and the new nature will not like what the old nature does. If we can enjoy things in the old nature, after we claim to have the new nature, we still have the old nature. The flesh is going to be strong, which was why as a believer in Christ, I preached on that last 2 weeks. But the most important thing is, was there a time that you realized at that moment I understood the gospel, I realized I cannot live that way anymore, and I make a decision, I'm going to turn to Christ. You must be born again. Question, have you been born again? Can you honestly answer the question that you are born again? 1981, when someone knocked on the door. For me, at that point, I still remember his face. I still know which church is from. I put my faith in Christ. At that time, I gave away my rock music. I wanted to sell the cassettes. You say, you know, give away, must I make some money? I actually thought this. What's not good for me is not good for anyone else. I destroyed it. And after that, I struggled with sin, and I didn't want to go back to sin. Do you struggle with sin? Do you struggle with sin? Is it okay to sin? The most glaring evidence of conversion is that you cannot stand sin. Or there is a struggle because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. There was one lady, every time he would come to church, and after he came to church, you know, every time, you know, sometimes church, you will have a lot of those extra leftover food. And so she would take some home without telling anyone. After he became a Christian, after taking that the food home at 2 a.m. in the evening, she got convicted. I mean, she said, he called up the pastor and said, Pastor, I need to tell you that I took some of the bread. And the pastor smiled. Of course, over the phone, you can't see. The pastor smiled and said, thank God you called me because it means you've been saved. You have the Spirit of God, because it used to be you take this and you wouldn't tell anyone. But now you do it, and God is working in your heart. Have you been born again? We need to be honest. If you cannot answer the question, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. Our conversion to Christ. Number two, I want you to know, after Peter said this, Simon Peter, what did he call himself? He called himself a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know, that's a wonderful phrase. A servant and an apostle. Peter addressed himself as a servant first. After you are saved, our service for Christ. The word servant there in the Greek is doulos in the Greek. Doulos is a bond slave. Let's turn to Exodus 21. Let me read a few verses there. And I'll explain this phrase. And for every believer in Jesus Christ who claims to be a servant of Christ, let's look at what the scriptures say. Exodus 21, verse 2. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. God gave an institution, and the institution is this. You can buy a Hebrew slave. As a Jew, you buy a slave to help you in your house. 6 years he will serve you, and in the seventh year you must let him go. That is a rule. That is a national regulation, okay, if you buy slaves. But then in verse 5 and 6, Exodus 21, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the door post, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. The Bible talks about, if let's say this at the end of the 6 years, and then the master say, okay, you are free to go. And then the slave say, I'm not going. I love you and I love my family. I'm not going to leave. And then the master say, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm sure I'm not leaving. And he was to bring this servant to the judges, which is the rulers of Israel. And these judges is supposed to bring the slave to the door or the wooden pole. This part, this is called the wooden part of the door, right? The wooden frame. All right, let's pretend here. And he's supposed to put his ear here, okay? And the awl is a sharp instrument. And he's supposed to then have your boy through, okay? So that means there's an ear. This is a form of identification that this slave belongs to this master. This slave belongs to this master. And the scriptures teach, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, a sharp object, and he shall serve him forever. I want you to notice five things about this slave. Number one, the bond slave is one who has the freedom to go free, but chooses to stay with the master. I want you to, as I go through these five things, think of it as a Christian. Number one, the bond slave is one who has the freedom to go free, but chooses to stay and serve the master. As a Christian, you are free to live your life after Jesus Christ has saved you. You are free to live the way you want. But there is something that has happened to you. Jesus saved you. Jesus loved you. And as a believer in Christ, after Jesus has saved us and set us free, a bond slave is one who says, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay to serve you. That's a Christian. That's our service for Christ. Okay. Number one, the bond slave has a freedom to go free but chooses to stay and serve the master. Number one. Number two, a bond slave is willing to be identified with the master even though it may cause him pain. It's very painful. Last time they have no anesthesia. They put the sharp instrument and they bore a hole. Okay? Now they make it easier for a lot of girls to have your earrings. It's not earrings. It's not like, out! You know? It's not like an end bite. It's a sharp instrument whereby they use a physical instrument to bore through the ear to identify that person with the master. The bond slave is willing to identify the master even though it causes him pain. Many Christians, when they serve Christ, when it comes inconvenient, they stop serving God. Would you stay with your master to serve him, even though it's so painful for you? Number three, it is bought through the ear. You know why it's through the ear? The Jewish culture or the Syrian culture during that time, you know why they bought through the ear? Because it indicates obedience to every command of the master. And so you guys want to pierce your ear, it means you want to be obedient to every command of your youth teacher or pastor, okay? Ladies as well. No, actually, this is an ornamental thing, okay? But during those times, when they bore through the ear, it indicates that that servant is willing to be obedient to every instruction of the master from that time onwards, okay? Number four, this is a decision will last till the day he dies. Bible says, if Ecclesiastes chapter 21, verse 6, Exodus 21, verse 6, and he will serve him forever. You know what's the last point? This decision is a decision based on love. It's a decision based on love. Love can make a person do anything. Have you seen Valentine's Day? People buy 1,000 roses. I wonder what they do with those roses. You know, start a nursery or... Do you know why they do that? An expression of love. Agree? To show love. In fact, the Song of Solomon says, let's turn to Song of Solomon. Okay, men, you need to pay attention to this, okay? So especially you who are married. Song of Solomon, actually, is for everyone. It's actually a principle of love. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. Let me just read this. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man will give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt. That simply means for the man who says, I'm going to give everything for love, to pay for love. You know, in genuine love, you can't buy. Amen? Genuine love. That's the love of the mother and the father for the son when the son is hurt or in hospital. Then the mother and father will, I don't care my work. If a boss don't give me leave, I resign because I need to take care of my son. That's the kind of love we're talking about. Not the, oh, I love you. Valentine's Day, come and buy this. And you know what? 2 months later, argue, break up. That's not love. That is selfishness. In fact, have you heard of fish love? That's fish love. Many love today is a business transaction. I want you to fulfill my needs, and when my needs have stopped, I don't want you anymore. It's still love, the worst part. That's not the kind of love Jesus is advocating. You know how Jesus showed his love for us? He died for us. That's the type of love. The husbands, those who attended the Sunday Bible Hour, Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And husbands and fathers, we need to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for our family. That's the type of love. In other words, if something is hurting in the family, your job is not as important as what's happening in the family. I'm not saying you immediately, that's the first thing. I'm saying that if it comes to the decision you have to make to remove that, say, well, if it's really going to take up so much time, well, I'm going to find a job another time. I need to deal with this first because that's my first priority, that's my love. You know, this servant, Peter, loved Jesus. That is why he is a doulos. We need to learn to be a servant first before the Lord can entrust to us his calling, which was why Simon Peter called himself a servant and then an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why sometimes ministries don't flourish? Can I be honest as a pastor? Because those who serve are volunteers and not servants. Volunteers come and go as they wish. Servants serve till the day they die. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking for Christians who are not volunteers. Volunteers will always come and go at their own time, at their own expense, or rather, as long as, and it needs recognition. But a servant of Jesus Christ, I'll serve till the day I die. Has the Lord been good to you? Has the Lord Jesus been good to you? Are we then serving him? You know, we serve him because we love him. That's the only spiritual motivation that as a believer in Christ, we need to serve God with. Number 3, our faith through Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle, the ministry that Jesus gave to him, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that has obtained like precious faith with Christ through the salvation of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There are 3 things about this faith. This faith is like precious faith. It's similar. When Peter was writing to the Jews, he's saying, you guys have received the same faith as we have received from Jesus Christ. Okay? It's similar. And you know, that helps us to think, when similar to what? Our faith needs to be similar to the faith of the apostles. Our faith needs to be similar to the faith of the apostles. Our faith needs to be similar to the faith of apostles. What are some of the our doctrines the apostles taught us that Jesus Christ is God? The Seventh-day Adventists don't believe that. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. If we come from a faith that don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, you're not saved. And our faith is not similar. Christ is the only Savior in this world. Only Savior in this world. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. There is salvation in no other. Is your faith the same as that? Christ accomplished salvation for us once for all at the cross. Once for all at the cross. For one time, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, which is not there. I just want us to look at this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. And I want to see whether our faith is in line with what the apostles taught us. I'm excited because I'm going to, for those who are coming for the discipleship, I'm going to look at holiness. This is one of the verses, Hebrews 10, 14. Let me just read. And I hope it will challenge you and encourage you with regards to your salvation. Verse 14. For by one offering, referring to Jesus Christ at the cross, he had perfected forever. The word perfected means completed. Paliotes, which is in the Greek. Once and for all settled. He has perfected forever. How long? Forever. Them that are sanctified. That refers to whoever who have trust Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said once for all at the cross of Calvary, when we put our faith, turn away from our sin, repentance away from our sin, faith in Christ. Once for all, when we put faith in Jesus Christ, God says, once for all, I have perfected him once for all, forever. That's eternal security. Them that are set apart. Is your belief the same as the apostles? The apostles believe, once saved, always saved. That's the apostolic doctrine. That's what the scriptures teach. And those who come, I'll show you again and again. God is so clear. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will, and they shall never perish. That is our relationship. Jeremiah, Esther, John, they will forever be my child. My children, Jaira, Joanna, forever my child. No matter what they do, they're born again, they're born into my family. They are my child. The surname is going to be like that till the day they die. Nothing is going to change that. Our fellowship may change because of some things they've done. I may get angry at them. They may get angry at me. Yeah, they may have that. But you know, that relationship is secure. Christ accomplished salvation once for all. Salvation occurs only after repentance from sin and faith in Christ alone. When Christ saves us, he saves us for all eternity. That's the apostolic doctrine. We are to be busy in the Great Commission. Because that's what Jesus said. That's what he gave in the Great Commission. Baptized, joining the church, serving the Lord through the local church. We are to be remain separated from the world. That's apostolic doctrine. Is your faith the same? You know, as I preach this, I'm realizing this. God wants to be very clear what you believe and what the Bible says. If your faith is not aligned with the scriptures, we need to get back in line. Does it mean Ambassador Baptist Church is right in all things? I don't think so, because we are imperfect. But you know, we strive to be in line with the scriptures. I believe very much that salvation is so important. You know, looking at all the other things, some people may challenge this and challenge that, but it's your salvation based on scriptures. Because if you believe we can lose our salvation, you don't believe in a powerful Christ. Who saves to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. My Savior saves me to the uttermost. I'm the worst. I'm not saying, therefore, after you get saved, you can do what you want. I'm saying, if you genuinely are saved, your heart will be so broken by your sin. But when you look at the Savior, you're so filled with love with someone who loves you enough to die for you, even though you know you're the most wretched sinner on planet Earth. Is your faith light? Number one. Number two, is your faith precious? Because Peter says, to them who have obtained similar to the apostles, precious faith. Is precious meaning three things. Number one, this faith is costly. Why is it costly? It doesn't cost us anything. It costs Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It cost God the Father to give His Son. I've got four children. Not on your life, I'm going to give up any of my children to save someone who's not worthy to be saved. Amen. But you know what? God gave His Son in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. It's costly. It's precious because it's costly. It costs the righteous sacrifice of the blood and death of the Son of God. Number two, it's precious because faith is the precious commodity that God allows us to have as we give our faith to Christ. It is through faith that we know our sin. It is through faith that we know our Savior. It is through faith that we know the love and mercy of the King of Heaven. It is through faith that we are reconciled with God. It is through this faith that we are changed from a sinner into a saint. It is through faith we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Don't you consider that precious? Don't you consider it precious that your faith in Jesus Christ can change you into a sinner, to a saint, and be on your way to heaven? Is that precious? Is that precious? Are you listening? Is that precious to you? Is your faith precious? Do you not consider it precious? It's through this faith that we have assured hope of eternal life. But you know what? It is esteemed precious by Peter and the apostles, because they were all willing and actually died for the faith. Are you listening? The faith of Peter was so precious to him and to the people. It was precious faith because they saw it as precious. You know, something can be precious. I don't have a $10. If I flash $10 in front of Tsuchi, is it precious? Right? You know, sweet to a three-year-old is precious. You know how I know? Can you share? No. Okay. Is a sweet precious? Well, to the three-year-old it is. Right? You will wave $1 million in front of a 50-year-old man. Is that precious? On, man. I'll do anything for it, right? Because it's precious. But you know what? Some people cannot be tempted with $1 million. Why? Is $1 million precious? Like, in terms of value? It's very high value, right? But why is it some people are not tempted by it? They're not tempted by it because there's something higher in value in the person's mind. Okay? Is life important to us? Is life important to us? Yes. If you say, you kill me, you want your life, or you want this, or you want this, whatever it is, $2 million or whatever. You want to give up, maybe a robber comes to you, you want your life or your money. What will you do? You can take my money, I don't care, you know, I want my life, right? You know what Peter did? To Peter, his life was not as important as his faith in Jesus Christ. His life wasn't as important as his faith in Jesus Christ, which was why at the end, initially it was, you know why? Because we know that Peter denied Jesus because he was fearful of being arrested and being killed together with Jesus. But the Bible says in church, or not the Bible, the church history tells us, and it's true, out of the 12 apostles, 11 of them were killed for Christ. You know how Peter was killed? He was going back to Rome. Or rather, he was running away from Rome. In terms of history tradition, apparently he met Jesus on the way and he saw Jesus going into Rome. And Peter said, well, Lord, why are you going there? He said, no, I'm going there to die. Why? Because you are not willing to. And then Peter turned around, went in, and he was arrested. He was crucified. You know what he said? I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus Christ. And they crucified Peter upside down. Peter was willing to give up. Are we willing to give up our work on Sunday? Is our faith precious to us? Is our faith precious to us? That's what Peter said, like precious faith. Is it precious to us? You know what I can honestly say I believe? I don't know about you. Our salvation in Christ itself is such a precious thing. But unfortunately, some people don't see it as precious. Remember evangelist Pastor Pao Chan, some of you may know. You know what he says? This is what he preached to the church in China. Don't sell your Savior on Sundays so that you can work overtime to earn a few dollars. That's what he said to his... You know, that's what's happening in Singapore. Many people think, maybe it's just because they have never seen the preciousness of our faith. You know? Christianity will be so much stronger when every believer saw not just Christ. By the way, it doesn't matter how we see Christ. He is precious. Amen. It doesn't really matter how we see Christ. He is precious. He's the Son of God. But you know what? He's precious to me. I hope he's precious to you too. That there's nothing in your life. What are you? Maybe I ask a question. What are you not willing to give up for Christ? Your friends? Career? Your job? Your life? And I challenge you with that. Faith is precious. It's precious. And number three, the third is esteemed precious by Peter and the apostles. They were willing to die for it. Is your faith in Jesus Christ precious? Is your faith in Jesus Christ precious? What are you willing to give up for your faith? What are you willing to give up for your faith? And finally, it's like it's precious, it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, to them that have obtained precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ you can have eternal life. No other gods can give us eternal life except the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Singapore, I can go to jail for what I just said. But that's the truth of the scriptures. There is no other God but Jesus Christ that can save. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. I'm finished. Actually, it's here. It's actually here. Paul says, as he was expounding his own testimony, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul says, I want to be found in Jesus Christ, not having my own righteousness. That simply means I don't do anything for my own faith. I can't save myself. There's no good thing I can do to save myself. I need Christ, which is of the law. That means if I try to do things of the law, the works salvation, I can work and work and work and work for God, thinking that through that I can get saved. Paul says, no, that's not going to save you. You can do all the good works in this world. You can save people from whatever. It's not going to save you from hell. Only Jesus Christ can save you from hell. Because that's from your sin and then from hell. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. As we closed, are you born again? Have you been born again? Do you desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a desire there? And have you received? Is your faith similar to that of the apostles, to the Bible? Is your faith precious? How precious is your faith? You know, we need to settle that question in our heart, because if our faith is precious with us, our life will change in 2019. Amen? Our faith will change. Our Christian life will grow in 2019. And the Christian life is the center of life that affects all the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Are you depending on Christ only to save you? Or do you think you need to work to keep your salvation? If you do, can I say this? If you think you need to work to keep your salvation, you're not saved. You're depending on your works. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Pastor Johnny was on death row. Not really, a spiritual death row. I'm on my way to the lake of fire because of my sin. Somewhere along the line, someone cared enough to come and tell me, Jesus Christ died to save you from your sin. By faith, I said, yes, Lord. I turned away from my sin, put my faith in Jesus Christ. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not perfect, but I know Jesus is, and he is able to save me. Have you done that? Have you done that? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we begin this journey, Lord, in the book of 2 Peter, I pray that we will be very clear about our conversion to Christ. That, Father, we need to be changed, that we need to be born again. Lord, also our service to Christ. Father, that we need to be servants of Christ, which is why Peter called himself doulos, a bond slave. That he stuck to where he is because of his love for you, and he's not going to move. I pray also, Father, help us to learn to be a servant of Christ as Peter was. And Father, help us to know that salvation can only be through Jesus Christ, through the righteousness that's in Christ. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. Teach us, O Lord, teach us through the life of Peter, through the words of 2 Peter, that we will not be, that our lives, Lord, will not be so important. Lord, I know it does take time for us to grow into that. But help us to take small steps of faith. Help us to just trust you. Help us to learn. But I know only the Holy Spirit can help us. So, Father, I commit whatever that has been said into your hands. I pray for one person who may be struggling, really, to trust Christ. I ask you, Lord, to guide. I ask you to help us. I pray for those who have not been born again or they're not sure, Lord. Help them to see the truth that they need to be born again of the Spirit of God. For us as believers in Christ, help us to serve because we love you. And Lord, help us. So we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. Bless the afternoon and also the Chinese New Year. Help us not to forget what you've taught us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.